Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for joining me on these conversations because, as I like to say, it's an opportunity to empower you with truthful information so you can make informed decisions. And that really is my personal journey in life, is to gain more knowledge so I can have a greater understanding of the best path for me. And that's really why I do the show, so I can share that with you and just support everyone who's listening to gain more knowledge, broaden their perspective on things, and certainly be able to, with much more certainty, find their way through the challenges, whether it's your health challenges, whether it's relationship challenges, whether it's just understanding your purpose in life challenge. It's all about the journey. And learning and healing and getting educated is the way to go. So that's what we're doing today. And I have a wonderful guest with me, and it certainly will be an enlightening conversation. I just want to add, if you are listening for the first time, if you would like to get the archives to What Women Must Know or my other podcast, which is called The Love Code, then you can like me on Facebook at What Women Must Know. You can opt into my website, which is drcherylselman.com. You can go to Podbean. You can go to Spotify. There are many places where you can go. If you do go to my website, however, it will send out on a daily basis, on a regular basis anyway, my shows and some other valuable information that I come across. So, without any further ado, I'm really thrilled to have as my guest today, Dr. Thomas Levy. We're going to be exploring two really, really important strategies, I would say, for health. I would say they are one of the two most important strategies that you can incorporate into your life that will support you in your healing, whatever that healing process may be, and also support you in rejuvenating and staying healthy and living your healthiest life possible. So we're going to be exploring the power of vitamin C and also of nebulizing with hydrogen peroxide. And before we jump into this fascinating conversation, I just want to introduce my guest, Dr. Thomas Levy, to you. He is a board-certified cardiologist and bar-certified attorney. After practicing adult cardiology for 15 years, he began to research the enormous toxicity associated with much dental work, as well as the pronounced ability of properly administered vitamin C to nebulize this toxicity. He has now written 13 books, maybe more by now, with several addressing the wide-ranging properties of vitamin C in neutralizing all toxins and resolving most infections, as well as its vital role in the effective treatment of heart disease and cancer. Others address the important roles of dental toxicity and nutrition in disease and health. Inducted into the Orthomolecular Medicine Hall of Fame in 2016, Dr. Levy continues to research the impact of the orthomolecular application of vitamin C and antioxidants in general on chronic degenerative diseases. His ongoing research involves documenting that all diseases are different forms and degrees of focal scurvy arising from increased oxidative stress, especially intracellularly, and that they all benefit from protocols that optimize the antioxidant levels in the body. And if you're not sure what all this means, then I'm so glad you're listening because this will be a profound conversation for all of us. So first of all, let me just say how wonderful it is to have you on the show, Dr. Levy. Thank you for being with us today.
Very pleased to be here. Well, glad to talk to your audience.
You're such an amazing man, I have to say. You're an attorney. Well, actually, it sounded like you were a cardiologist. You went through medical school, became cardiologist, went on to be a lawyer. Can you just share a little bit about that journey, which I just find is so fascinating to listen to the path that people have taken on their journey, and particularly their journey for finding the real purpose in life.
Well, it is interesting, at least for me. I think it's an interesting story. Is in the in the early 1990s, I had been practicing cardiology. I felt I was doing a good job. I felt I was helping people, which I'm not convinced all branches of medicine do, but that's maybe beside the point at this point in time. But it was somebody who's having a heart attack, and they're able to have their life extended. You feel like you did something good. However, I found myself staring into space in my office day after day saying, you know, I don't know what it is I want to be doing with my life for the rest of my life, but I know that this isn't it. And I say that, that's why I said first, though, that I felt it was a fine profession and I did a lot of good. Then, as the old expression goes, and you probably have heard it many times in different contexts, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And it was almost within a few weeks to a month of me having those thoughts about, I don't know what I need to be doing, but it's not this, that I met Dr. Hal Huggins in Colorado Springs, Colorado in 1993-94. And anyway, to make a long story short, I, after not that much profound thought about it, just completely gave up my cardiology practice and proceeded to do consultative work with Dr. Huggins, probably the world's first premier biological dentist. And he had a huge clinic in Colorado Springs. He'd bring in patients from around the world. They'd come for a two-week stay, not at the clinic, but in the city, and get extensive total dental revision, removal of root canals, amalgams, infected teeth, etc., along with appropriate diet, appropriate supplementation. And anyway, early on, before I joined with him, he asked me to come by and take a look at things. So I went over, and I got to say, I was impressed, number one. But number two, I still remember being struck so profoundly by this little old, shriveled up little old lady. I mean, she was in a wheelchair. She didn't look very good. And they got her into the dental chair. And she underwent 3 or 4 hours of excruciating dentistry, extractions, and all sort of different things, the type that puts a college kid to bed for a week, you know, when the wisdom teeth come out. Anyway, as the procedures went on, something wasn't right because she got more and more and more animated, more and more energized. And by the end of it all, she was asking her caregiver that was with her, saying, look, I feel great. Let's go out and find some place where I can eat a piece of meat on the other side of my mouth if I didn't have the extractions. And that just stunned me. And about that time, Dr. Huggins walked into the room. I said, Hal, what's going on here? And if he knew anything about Hal, you knew he was incredibly sarcastic, which I love, incidentally. I'm very sarcastic, too, and a very subtle form of humor. And he pointed at the IV bag. And I said, all right, I know about IVs. So what's the big deal? He said, it's what's in it. I said, okay, I'll bite. What's in it? And he said, 50 grams of vitamin C. Well, that just came out of left field like a Mike Tyson left hook. It just intellectually floored me. I knew nothing about vitamin C, but I've never been in the habit of denying the validity of what I witnessed. And what I witnessed, I had never seen before. And it was literally at that moment in time that I decided I need to pursue this to the end. I need to pursue this to the max. I need to find out everything about vitamin C, what it does and why it does it. And that began probably my 4 years worth of research before I came up with my first significant book, Curing the Incurable, Vitamin C, Infectious Diseases and Toxins. And the law came along a few months after I was with Dr. Huggins. He was very generous with how much he paid me, the time I spent doing it, such that I saw how he was so completely harassed on a near daily basis by one legal matter or another. He actually had a lawyer in town on retainer. I mean, a dentist has a lawyer on retainer paying that dentist regularly $15,000, $20,000 a month just to be available on a moment's notice. And something got juggling around in my mind. And I said, you know, I got the time, I got the inclination, I'm going to go to law school too. And so I began my commute from Colorado Springs to Denver for 3 years, got my law degree, and then began practicing a little bit, researching a little bit more, and gradually evolving to where I am now.
That's such dedication. You know, you must have just had such a passion ignited in you to make that commitment to go on to do law school in addition to everything else you were doing. And you did that because you wanted to protect people like Dr. Huddington yourself going into this work?
Basically, just to be as informed as possible on what your rights are and to prevent as much as possible from having governmental agencies ride roughshod over you in telling you what to do in dictatorial fashion and otherwise threatening your license and things like that. I mean, it's just, and of course, I don't need to emphasize how prominent that is now after the pandemic. If anybody, unless they've been in a coma for 3 years, can look at what's happened to the rights of citizens in quote-unquote free countries around the world in having their doctors be denied the ability to prescribe certain drugs. I mean, you know the story as well as I do, and it's just mind-boggling, but the better educated you are, the better prepared you are, the less susceptible you are to weak people who just exist to damage you.
And that's why these conversations are so important, so we can really become more empowered. You know, I have to say that I actually met Dr. Huggins at a cancer conference. It must have been maybe 30 years ago. I mean, it's a really long time ago. But I remember after he spoke, you know, everyone clustered around him and just was just so fascinated by what he was.
He's very charismatic. Very
charismatic. And I'm so grateful because I have followed that biological dentistry road ever since. And it actually has saved many of my teeth as a result. And I had lots and lots of amalgam fillings when I was a child. I just remember it was like a Saturday morning event where I would go to the dentist without any anesthetic of any sort. And, so it was profound to get all of those removed and then working with only biological dentists ever since. So, I'm so grateful to what Dr. Huggins did and what he had to endure because he was a heretic to the system.
No doubt about it, yes.
Yeah. And his work carries on. So it was the vitamin C that got your attention in the very beginning, that bag, that IV of vitamin C was an epiphany moment for you, it sounded like. What did you learn ever since? Because you've written so many books about vitamin C. I think vitamin C is the most common vitamin people know of and maybe even are taking, but I don't think people really understand the significance of vitamin D.
Well, I mean, it went from being, if you look at medicine textbooks, even today, vitamin C might get 3 or 4 mentions in the book. We're talking about, 5,000-page textbooks in very fine print, and it'll mention vitamin C treats scurvy. Vitamin C is in vegetables. And that's it. Now, you're talking about something that's probably, arguably, if not the most researched, one of the most researched substances on the planet. If you go to PubMed, you'll see upwards of 80, 90,000 articles on all the different things that vitamin C does in different contexts and different testing systems with different diseases, with different toxin exposures. And I mean, right away, if you're willing to trudge through PubMed, you say something stinks here. Okay, this is an incredibly powerful substance, an incredibly consequential substance, and it's being completely ignored by modern medicine. And I should say contemporary medicine. There's nothing modern about the medicine at all. And the thing is, and then you take it a step further, which I've had the misfortune of witnessing now, so many times, of the patient's family around the world, emailing me. My mother, father, brother, sister is on the ICU in septic shock. They say she's going to die in a couple of days. We're begging them to give IV vitamin C. We're giving them literature. We're having other doctors talking to them. We're bringing lawyers, and they won't do it. Well, it's one thing to ignore something. It's another thing to actively suppress it. And it's a third thing to actively suppress it when it's a clear-cut, life-saving modality. These intensive care unit doctors, at the very least, deserve to go to jail.
I don't want to get too off track, but I have to ask you, are they following orders?
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, it's a very good question. No, I think most of them, independently, I mean, being the head of an intensive care unit is a relatively prestigious role in the modern hospital these days. So, no, I think they're acting fully and completely on the back of their own enormous arrogance and inability to expand their mind and inability to look beyond. I mean, doctors have a herd mentality like nothing I've ever seen. And what they fear and dread more than anything else, is being cut out of the herd as somebody who has stupid or idiotic or illogical concepts, someone that's not speaking the mainstream song.
I can only imagine how frustrated you have been over the years, especially in these recent years. That's very
no, no doubt about it. I mean, especially with COVID. I mean, and we have many agents, and we don't need to review them all. That's not the point of our little talk now, but not one, not two, but dozens of interventions quickly and easily and promptly cure all early forms of COVID and most advanced forms of COVID. Yet they won't have any of it. I mean, here you go. In the very beginning of the pandemic, the governor of Nevada, early 2020, I haven't wrapped my head around this, 3 years later, by executive order in the governor's office, executive order, you just write something down that becomes the law of the state, banned doctors from prescribing hydroxychloroquine, which is just mind-numbing. Here we have a two-bit moronic politician telling conscientious doctors they cannot prescribe the drug they want to prescribe. So that really put the handwriting on the wall for all the other incredible type of traumas that have been inflicted on people then for the subsequent 2.5 years.
Yes, it's really been a traumatic time for all of us, for all those reasons, for all, especially those that know about the many solutions, which brings us back to vitamin C, because vitamin C is more profound than most people realize. Like I said, most people kind of pop a vitamin C in the morning or something like that, but I don't think people understand why they want it. I don't think they understand what type they need, and they don't understand how much to take for what conditions. So you're not getting the benefit of vitamin C if you don't have all that knowledge.
Yeah, and the primary thing I found, Dr. Selman, is that before you go on to trying to make people appreciate how much or how little vitamin C they should take or that they absolutely need to be supplemented, you have to realize at the outset that the vast majority of physicians, the vast majority of the population has no idea that we're all genetic mutants, human beings who lost our ability to make vitamin C. So we're all in the same pathetic hypovitamin C state with an increased predilection toward every disease under the sun because our livers stopped turning glucose into vitamin C to the tune of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 grams a day secreted directly into their blood. So until somebody realizes that their body should be making
10 grams of vitamin C a day and putting it directly into the blood, it's kind of like, I don't know what vitamin C does, but who cares? It can't be important. Well, when you see what we've lost, you realize it is important. And it's important because of the basic concept of redox biology, reduction oxidation. And that is, quite simply, and I think pretty elegantly, all disease is increased oxidation, loss of electrons from biomolecules. So in other words, the biomolecules oxidize, they lose their function. There's no additional disease process going on inside of any cell other than what biomolecules are oxidized, where are they located, where are they concentrated, are they enzymes, what is their job? Because as I said, the more of them that are oxidized, the more basic loss of metabolic function that you have, and that's your disease. The other side of the coin is what causes this uniformly across the board are toxins. Toxins are also pro-oxidant. They cause oxidation. They seek a biomolecule to take the electron away from it and then hold on to the electron. So then that toxin is sated, but the damage is done. It's oxidized in biomolecule. So then this brings us to the, shall we say, I think the incredibly elegant concept that perfect therapy for all diseases involves two primary functions. One is to repair old oxidation, and the other is to prevent new oxidation. And preventing it is tremendously important because most people, most docs still don't realize these principles. They don't realize that an infected tooth in the head is attached to the rest of the body, and they just can't wrap their head around the fact that diseases continue to get worse. Diseases continue to get worse as long as you have more new oxidative stress coming in on a daily basis than you're able to repair old oxidative stress. It's really, really that simple.
Mm-hmm. So,
and of course, vitamin C is your premier agent for that. Vitamin C is your premier antioxidant. Many, many things have antioxidant capacity, the ability to donate electrons, but it's the ability of vitamin C to get throughout all the tissues and make sure that electrons are readily distributed throughout all the tissues that you maintain, achieve and maintain good health.
So we have to understand that part of the healing process is removing those things or reducing exposure to those things that cause oxidative stress in the body, like an infected root canal, for instance. That's why I know Dr. Huggins didn't ever approve of root canals, because they all are infected, and I've come to understand why root canals are one of the primary reasons that we have such toxic buildup of poisons in our body.
Not
a happy message, but it's true.
Exactly. And of the two parts, the two components, that is the most important part, because lots of people eat well, lots of people supplement well, but as Dr. Huggins like to put it, it shows his sarcasm, which I love so much. When I'm trying to figure this out one day, when the idea of repairing old oxidation, preventing new oxidation, he just sort of looked at me a little frustrated and said, "Tom?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You need to understand this." I said, "Okay, what?" "You can't dry off while you're still in the shower." And that's it with regard to health. I mean, you just can't come in and repair damage and expect a profound and wonderful return to health if you don't stop the new daily damage that's taking place.
So how would that look practically when you talk to people? What does that mean? What do people need to do if they are dealing with health issues, whether it's acute or chronic, from that model? What do you advise?
Well, first and foremost, and I offer this to your listeners as well as anybody else, you have my email and my website. Anybody can feel free to email me. I'm not going to do a consult with you, but if you ask the right questions, I can give you some information, and I'll always give you a list of resources that will greatly enhance and help you understand what we're talking about here. far and away, not 100%, but well over 90% of all diseases come ultimately from or are instigated by the infections and toxins inside the mouth. It comes in the form of gum disease, in the form of infected teeth like root canals, in the form of teeth that were never root canaled but became abscessed, in the form of chronically infected tonsils that look and feel normal. All these are important points because they all continue to seed pathogens and toxins 24/7 throughout the body. And the way, the only way that you can properly get off on the right foot, so to speak, is to have what's called a 3D cone beam examination x-ray of the mouth. This takes a three-dimensional picture of the mouth, accurately identifies many small abscesses, because let me tell you, any abscess at all, the tooth has got to come out. That's just it. Don't kill the messenger. I didn't create biology and metabolism as we know it. I'm just telling you that unless they come up with some new phenomenal inventions on how to regenerate dead teeth, and once if tooth is infected, it is dead, they got to come out. I mean, you wouldn't leave an infected boil on your arm unaddressed. Why would you leave an infected tooth unaddressed? So until this is realized, and this is the cause of so many diseases. This applies to kids, too. I mean, does anybody really think, if they're thinking, of course, anybody really think that you have an unlucky child that just for no reason at all gets leukemia, for no reason at all gets a brain tumor? I mean, you can have exotic causes like, you know, being next to a pesticide plant or something like that, but just garden variety, a lot of them get it. You don't know why. They, too, have decayed and rotting teeth and infections. And if you do these tests, you realize you're never going to get anywhere until you get all those infected teeth extracted. It's that simple. There are a lot of other things that support this. But until this is done, and one of the things that I'll send anybody who sends me an email is I'll give them the ebook of my recent book called Hidden Epidemic, which goes into the fact that all heart disease, when I say all, I mean over 95%. That's pretty close to all. All heart disease and the vast majority, 70, 80% of all breast cancer, comes from these infected teeth. Now, how many people, friends, relatives, clients, patients, Dr. Selman, do you know that have a heart problem, have chest pain, have already gotten started on their damn chemotherapy for their breast cancer or their breast lump, but have never come anywhere near a dentist's office? That's what we're talking about here. Heart disease and breast cancer collectively cause more than half of the deaths worldwide that we see. Related to disease, I'm not talking about starvation and famine in some of the third world countries, but for the first world countries, if I could use that term, these are the top of the chart for causing the most deaths: heart disease and breast cancer, and it nearly all comes from the mouth, and the mouth nearly always stays ignored.
So we're talking about undetected and ongoing toxic toxins that are released from the infections, and most prevalently coming from the mouth, which I totally understand because I've had that, that then are released into the body. They circulate through the body, these toxins, and the toxins are then putting the stress on this oxidative system, which is damaging the cells, and the body doesn't have, unless they are understanding the protocols we're talking about today, the resources, the capacity to counter the damage that's done from this constant exposure to toxins. And I mean, the teeth are one, but every day we have so many other toxins on top of all that, right? So we have this unbelievable toxic load that is causing massive oxidative stress in the body, impairing the cell's ability to function. Is that an accurate description?
Most of it. Let me fill in the gaps there, which is
Okay.
Yes, these toxins are being expressed continually around the clock from these teeth, but also the pathogens. You have even better than if you filled the syringe with blood pathogens and toxins and injected it into the vein. You wouldn't get, believe it or not, as effective a dissemination of the pathogens and toxins inside these teeth than when you chew on those teeth. Why? Every time you chew, you generate enormous pressures that immediately squeeze out the toxins and squeeze out the pathogens directly into the venous blood and also into the lymphatic drainage. When you inject something IV, you're not getting any access to the lymphatic drainage. When you chomp on an infected tooth in your mouth, you're putting it into the blood and the lymphatic simultaneously. And what's happened, and we have the data to document it, the data to prove it, it just frustrates me how all my fellow journey cardiologists either aren't aware of this or don't care. I don't know. But these pathogens get into the blood, and they're in a low-pressure system. And that low-pressure system stays that way as it goes to the pulmonary veins and then out into the pulmonary arterial system. Then when it gets to the left atrium of the heart, it's still low pressure. But then what happens when it goes to the left ventricle and then you have a vigorous systolic contraction of the heart? Instantaneously, those pathogens that were just floating around in a low-pressure system get impacted directly into your coronary arteries with high pressure, high systolic pressure, because the coronary arteries get 25% of the blood flow of the heart, of the cardiac output. And we have the studies to show that these oral pathogens colonize the coronary arteries. They literally, on site, have a chronic pathogen colonization, which uses up all the vitamin C, which causes an acute immune response to try to bring the vitamin C back into that area. The blood vessel weakens, and since there's no vitamin C available to help strengthen the blood vessel wall, the immune system reflexly does the only thing it can to keep the coronary artery from rupturing, which is, if we can't make it stronger, we'll make it thicker. And that thicker is the atherosclerotic plaque. And obviously, you can't make it thicker indefinitely until you block off the blood vessel. And that always will proceed to that unless and until you're able to identify what's seeding that blood vessel in the mouth and get rid of it permanently. Then you can start to talk not only about symptom stabilization and slowing of disease progression, you can start talking about reversal of disease progression. You can start talking about reversal of advanced coronary artery blockages.
And no statin is going to do that, right?
My goodness. The thing is it's important to understand, and it's not well understood, cholesterol is an incidental minor player in atherosclerosis. I say that because, and they have the animal studies to prove this, an elevated cholesterol by itself will never initiate atherosclerosis. You have to have the depletion of vitamin C in the arterial wall first. Then things like cholesterol, fats, lipids, they can start to accumulate to build up that plaque that I told you the body is going to try to make the blood vessel wall thicker and less prone to rupture. And why does cholesterol get elevated? Well, cholesterol is a natural antitoxin. What is it rising to? What we've been talking about, infected teeth and toxins. So the more infections you have in your mouth, the higher your cholesterol goes. And all we can think about is, oh, my God, get that cholesterol down because it's going to build a plaque. And what do? They give you a statin that does bring your cholesterol down, but it doesn't do anything for the toxins and the infections that caused it to rise. So all you're doing when you take a statin is you're taking away the one major protective mechanism the body is trying to exert against the ongoing toxicity and infection dissemination coming from the mouth.
Which will further advance your condition, if not your demise.
Yes, as a matter of fact, way back when, Dr. Nathaniel Pritikin. Remember the Pritikin diet, famous vegetarian diet.
Yep.
Well, Dr. Pritikin, if I recall correctly, had a cholesterol well into the 300s. He might have even topped 400 at one point in time, but it was definitely in the 300s. And he had, and I don't blame him, don't get me wrong, kind of a phobia about not wanting to get heart disease and a heart attack. So he put together his program, which was very, very strict vegetarian, amongst other things. And he really lowered his blood cholesterol. He lowered it down to 300, 200, 150. He got his cholesterol down to 100 on this diet. But the part of the story they don't tell you about is he then he got leukemia and died. So he lost the body's protection against the toxins that were undoubtedly in his mouth, causing the leukemia. Remember what I talked about the little kids? They don't let leukemia for no reason at all. It's very frustrating how many doctors, cardiologists, think you get heart disease because you've got bad luck. How many oncologists think you got brain cancer because you got bad luck? Well, you did get bad luck, but the bad luck was you got the wrong doctor and the wrong dentist. If you got the right doctor and the right dentist, you'd have gotten good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think everyone needs to take a breath and just take all this in because we have it backwards, and that's part of the, contemporary medical system. I agree, it's not modern. It's very archaic. But we have it all backwards. And so how can we ever regain our health if we don't understand the primary systems and the primary functions that are occurring and what the messages are, what the body is really trying to tell us, right? If you don't know how to read what the body's telling you, you can misinterpret it and then get on this merry-go-round, right, with more drugs and more surgeries, which is what you're talking about.
Right. It's still frustrating to me right now because if you look at the cardiology literature, it's now accepted that inflammation causes coronary artery disease. And although they don't know it, inflammation only occurs when you have low vitamin C, focal scurvy, and then you have inflammation and vice versa. But they don't ask the next question. They don't look at the next layer of the onion. They just basically say, we're just having a widespread epidemic, pandemic of inflammation of the coronary arteries. No, something has to be causing it. And what's even more frustrating, Dr. Selman, is a lot of the solid, cold studies I have proving the seeding of pathogens and toxins in the coronary arteries from the mouth is in the cardiological literature.
Right. Well, not convenient to see the truth at times.
Well, I tell you one thing about doctors, cardiologists, everybody, and this is neither, it's not a judgment one way or another, it's an observation. They all have their little routine, and they don't want to disrupt their routine. For better or for worse, they want to do things day one, and they want to do them the same day, same way on day 1,000. They just don't want to change, period.
And that's why we're so grateful for pioneers and heroes like you and Dr. Huggins and Stephen Sinatra, all these people who were trying to get the message out, understanding these root causes. Because as the world gets more toxic, we're going to see more of these chronic illnesses, and trying to treat it with medications, drugs, or these procedures are missing the root cause, which could be easily and inexpensively addressed. And effectively, right?
Yes, some people may say dental care is expensive, and that's true. But it's not as expensive as coronary artery bypass or the angioplasty or being a lifetime cardiac cripple. So everything's relative. I mean, you may end up spending a whole lot more money than you want to in getting proper dentistry. But if you really want to look at the bottom line and look at the value of your overall health, of your ability to stay employed and not be home and bedridden, be able to enjoy your spouse and enjoy your kids and follow their careers, there's only one thing that allows you to do that, and that's called health.
Yeah. So can we talk specifically about the kinds of vitamin C, how to get the dosages, the amounts. If you don't have an IV option, should you get an IV of vitamin C? I mean, let's get into some of the nitty-gritties about practical things people can start taking away with them and implementing.
Sure. Well, you have to start with the fact that, and this is not a judgment call, this has been an observation for many years now, is most individuals have no idea at all what good health feels like, because they've never really had a day in their life where they're perfectly healthy. Maybe they've had a day in their life where they don't get the headaches they usually have, or they have a little less joint pain than they usually have, or they have a little less fatigue than they usually have. But they have no concept at all of what it's like to have, my God, I feel great today. They just don't have that. Well, one of the things that vitamin C does for many people, not 100%, obviously, if you have people with a lot of advanced disease, this is not going to apply to them to the same degree. But so many people who are smoldering along, if you will, on their baseline, I'm getting by and I feel okay type of health, when they start supplementing multigrams of vitamin C, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8 grams a day in divided doses, they suddenly start feeling so good as they never felt before in their life. And they develop what I call as a new personal health intuition. They suddenly realize what good health feels like, and more, even more importantly, perhaps, they're also able to realize the beginnings of a challenge to that health. They might feel great one day, and the next day, well, I don't feel as good, but I feel okay. And maybe there's a little something in my throat. I don't know. Well, that's what vitamin C also does for you, is that it gives you ability to know quite comfortably, hey, it's not a big deterioration, but my health has taken a clear downturn since yesterday, so I need to kick into high gear, more vitamin C today, and other good supplements as well, and then get myself back to that wonderful feeling of good, solid health around the clock. Now, it probably should be obvious now that there's no perfect dose for everybody. Some people have a mountain of toxicity in their body. Others have a molehill. But they've all got toxicity, and it all needs to be dealt with. And it needs to be dealt with in a one-for-one fashion. So, I mean, to make it maybe sound silly, if you have 10 pounds of toxicity, 5 pounds of vitamin C is not going to do it. It's going to make it a little better or make it a little less toxic, but it's not going to get you where you need to go. So people need to work with this. When people ask about IVs, I say, if you can afford them and have access to them, the more the merrier. I mean, a lot of people who are better off, I mean, they get a vitamin C IV every couple of weeks or a month. A lot of times chronic disease patients who have been able to pull out of their chronic disease will opt, if they can, to get a 50 or 60 gram vitamin C IV once a month. For life, I mean, we're talking about energy molecules. So that's not something you just want for part of your life, but you don't need it for the rest of your life. So there are many different forms. There's a liposome encapsulated form that is phenomenal, and not all liposome encapsulated. I mean, I've worked with a company for 16 or 17 years. They basically started the liposome business. They're known as Live-On Labs, and I have seen so many fraudulent liposome products come out since their amazing success. And why do they have the success? They have it precisely what I just said. I can't tell you the number of people that after they take their first few grams of this truly liposome encapsulated form of vitamin C, they feel better than they have in years. Like I said, most people don't realize how good health feels. And so liposome encapsulated, vitamin C powder, take it intermittently throughout the day. That's an alternative way to do it. It's less costly than the liposome encapsulated. Then you have fat-soluble forms of vitamin C, ascorbyl palmitate. You have all the different IV forms and intramuscular forms that all have different indications for different circumstances. And you even have a circumstance where olive leaf extract, which contains a polyphenol called hydroxytyrosol, has been shown to, in a study, to double the levels of vitamin C inside these volunteers. And it very much looks like, can't prove it yet, it looks like this polyphenol in many people can allow them to overcome the the genetic defect, not the DNA coding, but reading of the code, so that they can start making some vitamin C again. So all of these things together give us some exciting therapeutic possibilities.
So I think one of the messages you have here is just like taking a one gram of vitamin C or whatever or less a day is not going to really serve you to recover. You need to be taking it throughout the day. And if you have a cold or something coming on, then you really need to hit it more heavily because there's a greater demand for that vitamin C, right?
So
do you recommend taking it several times a day? Let's say a maintenance dose and a therapeutic dose. Let's talk about those two options.
If you have this special liposome encapsulated form by Livo and you just need to take it once a day, because it's literally a long-acting form of vitamin C because it gets trapped nicely inside the cells and is not circulating in the blood to be excreted by the kidneys. All the other forms of vitamin C, including intravenous, keep blood levels significantly in your blood for several hours, and then the levels drop down as you excrete it in your urine. So all the other forms of vitamin C, for optimal coverage, you need to take at least twice a day, but optimally three or four times a day.
Well, that's great guidance, because if you're not getting enough vitamin C, then it can't really do the healing job we want it to do. So just a little bit is not enough.
But I want people to understand, don't be dissuaded that, like, I can't possibly take that much vitamin C, therefore I'm not going to take any at all. If you can take 1 gram a day, you're still so much better off over the general population than if you take none at all. Because a lot does a great deal of good, but a little helps a lot too. And we see this over and over and over again. So do not be dissuaded from taking any vitamin C at all, because you just can't conceive of taking it all day long or being able to afford the amount that you need to take. Take what you can afford first and foremost.
And any kind of vitamin C would be beneficial then for someone if they want to grab it off the shelf from there?
The regular forms of vitamin C, which is ascorbic acid and sodium ascorbate, are both perfect. I have a book out there, and you probably know about it, called Death by Calcium. Do not take calcium ascorbate. You do not need any extra calcium. It's killing all these poor old ladies with osteoporosis by not preventing osteoporotic fractures, yet still causing increased heart disease and cancer just from the excess calcium. Obviously, it's a big topic. We won't have time to go into it, but avoid. What is calcium? It's called buffered vitamin C. Look at the label. If it says buffered vitamin C and it says calcium ascorbate, don't take it. All the other forms of vitamin C are fine.
Okay. What do you say to people that get diarrhea after taking some high doses of vitamin C? What should they know?
Some people are unduly sensitive. But if it takes, for example, 5 or 6 or 7 grams to cause the diarrhea, well, that's fine. You put it in divided doses, take 2 grams 3 times a day, and you fall short of the diarrhea. But don't be dissuaded by the fact that if you overshoot and have the diarrhea, because it's still actually a healthy flushing diarrhea where the vitamin C is directly neutralizing toxins that are present in the gut. I will say this, and I have a book on this that you know about. It may seem completely off the topic, but it really addresses this so well. A lot of these sensitive GI tracts have to do with chronic pathogen colonization that's being swallowed in the nose and throat.
like we talked about a little bit before. And periodic hydrogen peroxide nebulization knocks out the biofilm and knocks out these pathogens, and the gut becomes enormously more healthy. Bowel movement is more healthy. No more diarrhea. So many different things disappear and normalize. So just don't accept the fact, or don't accept as a fact, that I've got an unduly sensitive gut and I just can't take vitamin C. Not until you've tried to take these measures outlined in my book, Rapid Virus Recovery, that is available for free if you send me an email. And then you can see a way to start normalizing the gut at the same time you're normalizing its ability to absorb nutrients properly.
You know, we were going to talk about nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, but we actually never got to that because there's so much important information you've been sharing about vitamin C. So how about if I invite you back for another show and we then can focus on the many benefits of nebulizing with hydrogen peroxide, which is a really important education for people. And everyone should have a nebulizer in their
Absolutely. Home. No, that'd be fine. No problem at all. Yes.
Yeah, because we need to give adequate time to explain this, and you've done such a brilliant job today. I think it's a real wake-up call for everyone, including myself, of the profound importance of understanding the role of our teeth and the infections and the different pathogens that get beginning there circulating through our body, the role of vitamin C, the vital role of vitamin C for supporting our health and our healing. There's just so many key points you addressed today that are profound. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the journey that I've been on, Dr. Levy, because, you know, early on I started investigating this and understanding biological dentistry and understanding the role of nebulizing and understanding, just the use of vitamin C in a healthy amount. I mean, you know, it has profoundly transformed my health, is what I want to say, over the decades. I wouldn't be doing feeling as great as I am now, at the stage of life I am now, if I hadn't learned this and implemented this in the past and into the present time. So, I'm just so grateful that we're having the opportunity to share this information, inspire people, and, just keep your passion alive that inspires others to wake up as well.
Well, that's what I'll try to do.
Yeah, and you're so generous with your time and your gifts. So let me be sure to give people your the website to get a lot of this information is peakenergy.com. If they want to get those ebooks, Dr. Levy, they should email you directly. Is that
right.
Correct?
Yes.
So that's TELEVYMD, TELEVYMD at yahoo.com.
That's
that right,
yes.
Too? Okay. So, Dr. Levy is generous. He will answer your emails, learn about liposomal vitamin C. And that's interesting, the product that you use. I actually use a liposomal vitamin C, and I'm going to investigate the product that you are involved with because I think a liposomal is the preferred way to take vitamin C. As you said, it gets into the cells, but it has
That's
to be
correct.
A good liposomal vitamin C.
Absolutely.
I've done research on liposomes, and there are some shoddy liposomal products out there. So, again, like anything else, you got to go find the best.
That's correct. Yes, ma'am.
Well, anything else you want to say in the couple of minutes we have left?
No, I think that about wraps it up. I always like to tell people that you're in control of your health. And if you give it up to any doctor, that's on you. That's not on them. Okay, so you need to find a good integrative doctor, even a good naturopath, someone who's willing to engage you in your questions and help you sort through your problems and not just process you like a fast food order, okay? If you have a doctor who doesn't want to answer your questions, my advice is don't walk out of that office, run out of that office. Just remember, and if the pandemic hasn't convinced you, I'm sorry, but what we call modern medicine does not exist for your best interest. It exists for their best financial output.
You know, it's such a good point. And I always like to remind people, it's not enough to go into a doctor's office to ask questions. You have to be educated enough to then evaluate their response and perhaps how to, you know, respond to them. So, it's, you know, just asking isn't good enough. You have to get educated so you know if what they are saying or how to refute or question further. So that's why these conversations play such a vital role in our empowerment, right?
Acquiring and maintaining your good health is a lifelong endeavor. And so, absolutely. I mean, you just don't, it's important. Anybody thinks that health isn't the most important factor in their life isn't thinking very clearly. So it deserves a lot of your time. It deserves a lot of internet research. There's a lot of clear-cut information out there. Some of it's contradictory. So you need to use your brain and see where certain facts appear at different sources. And when you start to see one thing appear from different reliable sources, not just necessarily the mainstream press who lies in their teeth just about everything under the sun for reasons God knows what, then you can start to form an information basis and have a good measure on whether you're doing what's best for your health or not.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for the commitment you've had over your lifetime to really serve others with knowledge, wisdom, and empowerment. So thank you so much, Dr. Levy. And we'll have you on next week, and we'll get into the nebulizing and hydrogen peroxide story. It's a big piece of the health journey. So thank you so much, and so appreciate your time today.
Sounds great. Take care, Dr. Levy.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining me for another amazing conversation here on What Women Must Know. And until next week, I always like to end my program by saying, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. See you next week. Bye for now.